Today's share in the Dear Shem Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Dalid Omud Beis. We're in the third volume of Mishneh Berurah, and Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to finish off Simen Shin Zayin. We have a little bit left of the Ramah, and we will begin Simen Shin Ches. So we begin on the second line in the Ramah. The Ramah says, V'chein Einam Yehudim, non-Jewish people, ha'osim gvinos b'Shabbos, that make cheese on Shabbos, and they want the cheese to be kosher and accepted by Jewish people. V'Yisrael Roeh, a Jewish person watches them to make sure that the gvina is okay. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about numerous reasons why gvinas akum might be prohibited. V'yikn osa mimenu. And the Jewish person, therefore, knows that it's kosher. He watches and observes that it's kosher and will purchase from the non-Jewish person after Shabbos. So he's doing this work here on Shabbos. D'mikol makom ha'ein Yehudi adaita d'navshei kovid. Nevertheless, the non-Jewish person over here is doing this for himself, even though the Jewish person will eventually buy it, but the non-Jewish person is making the cheese on Shabbos for his own benefit. And even though the Jewish person is watching this flock of sheep for months, or this flock of cows for months, where he's making the cheese from, and he's therefore there every single Shabbos, nevertheless, and even though this non-Jewish person is planning on selling it to Jewish people, nevertheless, this is considered permissible, brought down by the Beis Yosef in the name of the Aguda. Let's understand this a little bit better by seeing this inside in the Mishneh Berurah, Sif Katan Ayin Tes. And the Mishneh Berurah writes, the Afal Pishe Yisrael Omeid Be'ez Asiyas HaGvinos. Even though the Jewish person is standing there on Shabbos at the time that the non-Jewish person is making the cheese, Ubeiz Chaliva Sacholav, and he's watching the milking that's done there on Shabbos as well, so it's now Cholav Yisrael, Kidesh Yuchal Achakach Nosam Imenu, in order that it should be kosher, there shouldn't be a problem over here of it being Gvinas Akum or Cholav Stam, Afilu Hachi Shari. Nevertheless, this is permitted over here, because the Be'ez Hoasiyah, because at the time that it's the animals are being milked and that the cheese is being made, Ha'eino Yehudi Adaiti D'Navshei Ko'ovit, it's owned by the non-Jewish person at that point. He's doing it for his own benefit. He's doing it to improve his own financial status. And therefore, the Jewish person watching this doesn't ruin it. The guy is not doing the work over here on behalf of the Jewish person. The issue for number 83 brings down, and even for the Jewish person to go tell the Nochri what he should be doing over there, for the benefit of the Nochri, so the Shulchan Aruch Rav writes that is permissible. Afilu Yisrael nana mikach, and even though ultimately the Jewish person will benefit from this, it's still allowed. Why? The underlying principle here that we've spoken about, kivin shebishor shanochri osas amlocha, at the time that the non-Jewish person is doing the work that we're talking about in today's shir, the milking or the making of the cheese, or we talked about in yesterday's shir, that he's doing the placement of the items in the Jewish person's storehouse, it still belongs to the non-Jewish person at that time, and therefore it's considered who osa osa al das atzmo. He's doing it for his own benefit. Finally, the last Mishneh Berurah here, Sif Katan Pei, the Mishneh Berurah writes, Va'afilu im ha'ena Yehudi, eino osa ha'gvinos kim b'Shabbos. There's another leniency over here. Even if the non-Jewish person is only working to make the cheese on Shabbos, the rest of the week he's doing something else, and he only does this on Shabbos. And by Yisrael mekablim b'chovo, if the Jewish person is going to accept this cheese as a repayment of a debt, v'shem lo yikablim yavsid chovo, and if he doesn't accept this, then the guy says, well, I'm not going to pay you. This is the only way I can pay you back. Even with all of these conditions, sure, it is permissible, because the bottom line is, the be'ez hu'asiyah, at the time that the non-Jewish person is doing this, adayin him shelo, they belong totally to the non-Jewish person, even though it will eventually go to the Jewish person. Right now, the non-Jewish person is doing it for his own benefit, and therefore it is permissible. That concludes Simen Shin Zayin. And now we begin Simen Shin Ches, which deals with Dvarim Hamutarim Vasurim Letalto B'Shabbos. We begin to deal with the halachas of Muktza, things you are allowed to or not allowed to move on Shabbos because of various concerns of Muktza. Now, the Chofetz Chaim over here in the Mishneh Berurah has an introduction, and we begin with that introduction now. Hinei kodem shinavar simen zeh, before we can begin to understand and explain this simen, akdim pesicha ketana, I will give you a short forward over here, a little introduction. So the Chofetz Chaim writes, hinei iser tiltu muktza shegadru chazal, this concept of muktza, which is a totally derabbanan concept, that things are not allowed to be used on Shabbos. So the reasoning behind this, he brings down, he quotes the Rambam. Because of Rambam, so perik chavdalin vizel shonu. And now he quotes the Rambam. And he writes, Osru chachomim letalto mixas dvarim b'Shabbos, Kederek she'osu b'chol. The Rambam writes that the rabbis forbade people to move certain things on Shabbos, a small number of things, the similar way that they would move them on a weekday. And the reasoning behind this is as follows. What caused the rabbis to institute this isser? So the Rambam says, the rabbi said, what if the Nevi'im came along and warned us and commanded us, you're not allowed to walk on Shabbos the way you walk on a weekday. We've already learned you don't run on Shabbos, etc. And likewise, a person doesn't go and speak on Shabbos the same way he speaks on a weekday. There are restrictions on what you can talk about on Shabbos. And this is based upon the words from the Navi, Shenemar V'daber Dover. So the Rambam writes, Kal v'chomer, certainly if your walk and your speech aren't the same on Shabbos, Shelo yehei tiltul b'Shabbos ketiltul b'chol, so the things that you handle on Shabbos shouldn't be done the same way that you handle things on a weekday. Kidei shelo yehei kiyom chol b'enav, in order to differentiate Shabbos and not make it appear just like another day of the week. Because you may come v'yavo l'agbiya ulasakin kalim in pina l'pina. Because if you're allowed to do this on Shabbos, you know what you do? You lift them up and you move them from this room to that room, from this corner to that corner, mibayis l'bayis, from this house to that house. Oh, let's niya avonim v'chayotzi b'zeh. Or you put away things that are absolute muktza, like stones or other things like that. Sharehu bata, because on Shabbos you're not working. V'yoshed v'veso, and you have sitting in your house, you have nothing to do. V'yavakish dovish esasikbo, and the person's going to say, let me look around. Maybe there are things that I can do. And the result will be that you're not resting on Shabbos. And this way, you would essentially, the Torah is telling us that you should rest on Shabbos. Furthermore, the Rambam writes, if you would go and investigate and move about things, kalim, that their essential work is something that is usur, you may come to forget yourself and use them. And suddenly you're picking up a pencil, you may come to write by accident. Furthermore, says the majority of people are not artisans over here. They're not working, doing isurim on the, or isur on Shabbos the rest of the week. A librarian, for example, there are no real isurim that librarian does during the week. So if they were to do the regular way that they conduct themselves during the week, they would conduct themselves on Shabbos, ela b'teilim koyimim, all week long they're not doing malacha. Kigon hatayolim, v'yoshvei kronos. He gives, for example, people of leisure, people that sit on the corners, for example, shekoy yimeim, him shosim malacha. They're not really doing isurim deraisa all week long. And if the rabbis didn't institute various restrictions on how they should walk and how they should speak and what they can carry on Shabbos, then if they did basically what they were doing the rest of the week on Shabbos, it wouldn't be recognizable that they were resting on Shabbos. And therefore, the Rambam writes, Lefikach, therefore, Shvisa bidvorim elu, he shvisa hashavim chalodam. The rabbis instituted something that would be recognizable for all people. It's applicable to all people. Because of these reasons that we just said, Nogub Isra Tiltul, the rabbis instituted this concept of not moving certain things, Isra of Tiltul Muktza, the Osru Shaloya Taltul Odim Bishabis, and therefore they instituted that a person shouldn't move on Shabbos except Elo Kalim Hatzorich Lohem, only those Kalim that you need for Shabbos. Kemoshi's Bar, as we will explain. And the Mishnah says, Ad Kan Lashono. Until now, I quoted exactly word for word the words of the Rambam. Then the Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Ravid. For Ravid Nosantam, Ravid gave an additional reason. Shu Godir Lotza. This is a restriction of fence to make sure that people don't by accident carry on Shabbos. Shimnati Latal Tol Kol Dovar, because if we allowed you to go and carry anything you wanted, Yavo Aide said, Gam Lotzi Mirishus Hayokel Rishus Rabbah. A person may come to by accident carry from his house to outside, from the Rishus Hayokel of his house. If he can carry everything, he'll just carry it outside. Now, the issue number one asks the obvious question, well, why didn't the rabbis institute then that you can't carry even things that are heter or food because of this concern that maybe you'll carry it outside, like the Ravid says. So Rashi over there in the Gemara in Beitza says, She'en gozrim gezerah, she'en rov atzibur yicholun lamod, but because that would be impossible. To say you can't carry anything, you can't move things around, that would be impossible. In any event, the Mishnah continues and he writes, Veda. The Mikan at Sov Simon Shin Yud Beis, this Simon over here, Shin Ches, all the way through Simon Shin Yud Beis, are going to describe various aspects of Muktzah. Nisbar Arbo Chalokim Shem Muktzah, four types of categories of Muktzah. Chelik Echo, the first section, Muktzah Mach Maschil Sarin Kis. It's talking about items that you're not allowed to move because they're very, very valuable. And you're scared over here that if you'd move them, you'd break them. Dainu Klish, or the Makbidol of Shalo Yifkom Velo Yiskalkam. This is the type of utensil that a person is very careful about that it doesn't get broken, it doesn't get in any way unable to do its job. And that's called muktzah machmas chisaron kis. It's so expensive that you don't use it. Chelek sheni, the second type of category of muktzah over here, davar she'eino kli, v'lo ma'ichel adam. It's something that's not a utensil, and it's not a food, v'lo ma'ichel behema, it's not a food for humans or for animals. For example, could go in avonim v'konim, for example, stones or reeds, umos or money, the eitzim, the koros, or beams of wood, v'ofor v'chol, or dirt or sand, umes, or nebuch, a dead body, u'balichayim, or animals, u'grogros, v'tzimukin, shemunochim, v'mokum, v'smisyavshim, various types of drawing fruits, for example, figs or raisins over here, v'chol kayotzi bazeh, or anything similar to this, the lo chazi, that's not really able to be used on Shabbos, it doesn't have a real significant usage on Shabbos, u'mikrei muktzah machmas gufo, and in and of itself, it has the status of being something that is called muktzah, because it has no purpose on Shabbos. Chelik Shlishi, the Mishnah word says, Klisha Machtag Lisa. That's the type of a utensil which we'll learn about in Siv Gimel, that is something that normally is used for a Dover Osir. And finally, Chelik Ri, the fourth category, is Klisha Malachtu Lehetter. That's a utensil that's normally used for permissible reasons. Umunach Alav Dover Muktzu, but now it has something that's Muktzu on top of it. Vafilu Husru B'Shabbos, and even if that Muktzu thing is taken off it on Shabbos, Kivin Shohaya Olav Ben Hashmashos, since during the Ben Hashmashos, when Shabbos starts, at the initiation of Shabbos, this Heter item had something muktzah on top of it. We have a principle, migu, the iskatzoy, levein hashmashos, iskatzoy lukuliyoma, something that is forbidden because it's muktzah at the start of Shabbos during the ben hashmashos retains its muktzah status all Shabbos long. Then the Mishmur says, V'yeh, oh, shnei chalok muktzah. There are even two additional categories of muktzah, but they'll be learned elsewhere. Number one, echad, dover, shehiyo, yobein, hashmashos, mechubar, mechusar, tzeda. Something that was attached to the ground or wasn't captured at the start of Shabbos, during the ben hashmashos period of time. And this will be discussed in Zeyiz Bar, b'hilchos yontif. It won't be discussed over here in Hilchos Shabbos, but that will be discussed in Hilchos yontif. And the second category that's not discussed over here, shein this, is muktzah machas mitzvah. Something that is muktzah because of a mitzvah that's to be performed with it. For example, kigon atzei sukkah v'noya. The wood of a sukkah and the decorations of the sukkah. And these will be learned, v'yizbar im yirtz Hashem, b'hilchos sukkah. Those will be discussed when we get to Hilchos sukkah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah concludes. He says, "Ubir dinim elu mikan atzov simin yudbeis." The explanation of these halachos over here, starting with Shin Ches, going through yudbeis, Shin yudbeis, ken kosev beis Yosef, also listed by the beis Yosef, v'lechena ma'ayim b'simonim elu, yovin kodin eze chelik muktzahu. Well, if somebody looks through these dinim, he'll begin to understand the halachos of muktzah. So now we start with the words of the Mechaber. The Mechaber says as follows. Kol hakelim nitolim b'Shabbos. All utensils are allowed to be moved on Shabbos, with the exception, chutz, mi muktza machmas b'saron kis, with the exception of something which we've already explained a little bit, that is so expensive an item, a kli, that you wouldn't want to use it for anything else other than its designated purpose, and that's called its muktza because it's so expensive, because of the loss that you would result if you were to use it for something else. For example, kigon sakin shel shchita. A person has a chalaf, a knife for shchita. Now, the shochtim are very, very careful with the knives, and they would never use it to cut a piece of wood. They never use it to cut something else, because that would destroy the knife, and they're so careful to make sure that their knife is perfect for shchita. Likewise, oshamila. The moil would never use his mila knife to use it for some other purpose that could ruin the mila life knife. Vizemu shel saparim. Likewise, the blades or the knives that barbers use. Likewise, the sakin shel sofrim, shemesaknim ba hakumasim. Likewise, the sofrim, the scribes, that they would have certain knives that they would use to go and make sure their quills were very sharp. So all of these things, kivin shemakpidim, shalolasos bem tashish acher, the owners are very makpid not to use them for anything other than their specifically designated purpose. Also, latatalim Shabbos, therefore you can't use them on Shabbos. Bafilu, and this is true, even if you're using litzorch mukomo or litzorch gufo. Now, this is a special category that you're allowed to use a klisha malachto le'isr, something that normally is forbidden to be used because it's muktzah, but if you need it for something that is heter, or you need its place, you're allowed to move it. That's by klisha malachto le'isr, which we'll learn about in Yirtz Hashem in an upcoming sif. However, here, something that is muktzah machmas yischar and kis is not even allowed to be used, even if you need its place, or if you want to use it for something else that is permissible. Because it's so expensive, you would never use it for something else. Now, Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat Nalef, Rosh Lomar, Afilu Klisha Malachdul Isser, Nitol Al Koponim Letzorcha Gufa Mekomo, Ukilil Kamim Besif Gimel. As I just mentioned, in certain situations, other than a Kli that's Muktzu Machmas Yisar and Kis, there are permissible reasons that you might be able to move it. And as I just said, we just spoke out at the end of this Mechaber over here that a Klisha Malachdul Isser is allowed to be moved Letzorcha Gufa Mekomo, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying over here, as opposed to a Kli that's Muktzu Machmas Yisar and Kis that cannot. Sifkat and Beis, the Mishnah Berurah says, Chisarin kiss, Rosh Lomar, Shemachmas Kashas Hefsed, who mock Bidaleim, Shalolitatlam, who mock Zosom Midaito. The person will not use this under any circumstances because it's so expensive. He won't use his special sakin for Shchita to go cut a piece of wood because he knows that he'll ruin the blade. So therefore, you're not allowed to use it for anything. You're not allowed to move it under any circumstance. Siv Cotton Gimel, the Mishnah says Kulmosim, the quills. Vuadin Shari Dvarim Shemak Bidaleim Shlolu Shtamish Bem Tashvish Acher Kedei Shlo Yiskalkulu. This is true for anything. These are just examples that were given over here. Anything that is so expensive that you would never use it for something else because you're concerned that it will get ruined, you're not allowed to move it. That's called Muktza Machmas Chisaron Kis. And he gives additional examples here in the Mishnah Berurah. Kigon Megera Gedolo Shemenasrin Bos Akoros. Some sort of a large plane that you use to cut boards. Osakin Shoratsonim, or the knives that the tanners would use. O Niar Chalok, Shomei Luxivo, or a piece of paper that is waiting to be used for writing, a clean piece of paper. Now, again, this is talking about in those days when a clean piece of paper was a very valuable thing, as opposed to nowadays, as we see in Dirshu footnote number 6, he writes, Bizmanenu, Shein Chashivus Ladaf Niar Bodet, a single piece of paper today has less value. Nevertheless, for Moshe finds in Zatzal, as well as Rav Nissen Karolitz Shlita, Labdu Michayim L'chayim, both say that it still retains this status. However, he brings down from the Shevet Alevi, Bismanenu, Nior Eno Muktzo Machmas Yichson Kis. Rav Ozan Zatzal says that nowadays, because things have changed, a piece of paper is not something that people wouldn't use for something else, and it's not considered Muktzo Machmas Yichson Kis, and this is also the opinion of Rav Yashiv Zatzal, as well as Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal. In any event, this is a machlokis amongst the latter-day poskim. And the Mishnah Berurah continues, Kimosha Kotzva poskim Chokhi Aigavna. This listing of things that are Muktzah Machmas Yisharon Kis, anything like this, would be applicable. Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Dalet, the Tzorach Gufo, you're not allowed to move this Muktzah Machmas Yisharon Kis, even if you need its place, or if you need to use it for some other acceptable usage. Dainu Shetzorach L'Gufa Dovel Melocha, you need to use this item for doing a Melocha that's acceptable. Melocha Acheret Shel Heter. Nevertheless, you're not allowed to move it. Now, there are a bunch of other important Dirshu footnotes over here that we need to go through. Dirshu footnote number 2 brings down, what is the status of money or various credit cards or other types of documents that are important, as we see also in Dirshu footnote number 3. So, according to many poskim, these things are all forbidden as well because they're something that you would not use for any other purpose. So, your tu'das zuhus, for example, your citizenship papers or your passport, since a person is makbid not to use them for anything else, so you're not allowed to move them on Shabbos, they're considered muktzma machmas chisaron kis. Similarly, credit cards or other types of magnetic cards or kupas cholim cards, health cards, would all be considered, according to some poskim, that they are muktzma machmas chisaron kis. Others are not as certain because you might use them for other purposes as well. People aren't makbid on them. The issue for number 4 says something like a candlestick, which wasn't being used at Shabbos, so it is a machlokis as well. Since some people use them for decorative items in the house, it may not be muktzah machmas chisaron kis, whereas others suggest that no, since it's designated over here specifically for something that you only use and it's an expensive thing for a dover that's also over here, so this is also muktzah machmas chisaron kis. The issue for number 5 brings down, what about electrical things like, for example, a telephone or a camera or tapes or things like that, CDs, that a person is normally makbid not to use them for any other type of usage. So Moshe finds in Zatzal in the Igros Moshe, as well as in the Shelus Teshuvas Or Lutzion, they both write Shenechshav Muktzah Machmas Yischoron Kis. And this is also the opinion of Yashiv Zatzal, and as well as Renis and Karolitz Shlita. Now we go to the Ramah. The Ramah writes, Vafilu Techuvim Binadan. These knives, these very specialized knives over here that are Muktzah Machmas Yischoron Kis, even if they're in a sheath of some sort, Imshar Sakinim, with other knives as well, also Letatlo. He brings down from the Ariel, again, who is the source of many Ashkenazi customs, that one is not permitted to go and move them because of the Muktzah knife that's in this sheath. The Mishnah Berurah does bring down, however, in Sivkotin Hey, Pirush, Otsan Asakin, Shal Sofrim, also Letatlo. This specialized knife, even though it's in this sheath over here, you might have thought since it's mixed in with other knives, you might not be so concerned about it and makbid on it, nevertheless, kumash belong to osu. So the chiddush over here is that it's still osu to move. However, aval hanadin and masakin and sharli taltil avshu gam came besocho. But you can move the entire sheet over here with all of the knives in it. That's not a problem. Dornas is bosses leisav ahead, because this sheet over here is both for muktzah and non-muktzah items, so therefore it can be moved. In addition, umutul enar gam kein es hasakin as emitochu. You'd be allowed to move and shake out the muktzah knife from inside of this. Finally, he concludes and he says, if the muktzah knife is more expensive than all the other knives, then you can't move the entire sheath at all. That concludes today's shear.